This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits John, and to my right is Travis. And today we're asking just a real big philosophical, theological question. How many of you got up this morning and had a cup of coffee?
Just one? I had a 20-ounce thermos today that I'm still working on a little bit, but...
I had half a cup today, but I don't have coffee every day. I've been reintroducing it, but
you're trying to get back into the habit, aren't you?
Trying to get back in.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I never drank coffee. I dipped my gorpus in them, which is like hard cinnamon toast.
is that a Uber
toast?
Thing?
It's Teneri toast, but gorpu.
Gorpu. Right. I learned gorpu. Something new.
And so but then I think it was when I was in seminary, I started drinking it every day. And I have a cup a day or maybe two, but it's part of the habit. You know, what's interesting is our lives are made up of habits, and not all habits are bad. When we refer to habits, we often think of bad things, I think.
Usually, yeah.
Yep. You know, my bad habits. Ed Sheeran sings a song about that, I believe. Isn't that your favorite guy, Travis?
I'm not much on the new age pop stuff here, or not new age, but just the popular stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm the resident pop guy. anyway, a habit is, well, we're just going to define it as an automatic behavior that is triggered by context from a situation. And just a simple definition. But I'm just intrigued in the scripture. Of the story of Daniel. And for all of you Sunday school listeners out there, that you've heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den, but there's this incredible context of how he got into the lion's den. And it starts off, you know, early on in Daniel, it talks about Daniel. They're taken out of their homeland and they're exported over, and they become basically refugees in Babylon. And they're kind of forced into labor, but they're the high end. They're looking for people who are high caliber. And Daniel kind of rises to the top. That's the first kind of thing that you see. And he's like 15 years old at that time. And then Daniel lives his whole life in captivity, basically. Mm-hmm. And so when he goes into the lion's den... And that's only chapter 6. If you zip up to chapter 6, 60 or 70 years have passed by this point.
Wow.
And so he's not like a young dude when he's going into the lion's den. But he has this habit that gets him put in there. John, you want to explain the kind of the rest of the story, what the habit did and how he got him there?
Yeah, so... the king that was in charge wanted all the people to bow down and worship him. And, you know, as you said, Daniel had established this habit of worshiping the one true God. And he was, you know, there's a certain degree where people knew that about him. And actually this was kind of a scheme to catch him and the other Israelites who were with him, right? I mean, that's part of what's going on in this story.
Yeah, so I think the king's name was Darius. And so Darius is wanting to put Daniel to be really second in command.
Yeah.
And these other dudes are like, wait a second, this guy, we're going to get him. We're going to take him out.
Yeah.
And so they put this whole scheme together that really looks like they're trying to help to worship the king and build the legions.
They're building him up. You're so great. Shouldn't all your people be, you know, worshiping you? And kings at the time viewed themselves as gods. I mean, that's what they're dealing with.
They did view themselves as God. The other problem that's going on in that story is it's Darius is like taking over people like crazy, and he's, you know, increasing the empire. Well, if you're bringing people from the outside, you're trying to hold on and not allow their culture and allow them to kind of take over, and there's not this uprising
to the point where he was changing their names, all these kinds of like Daniel, you know, was he Belshazzar? It was total domination. It was, we need to convert these people to be, you know, under our control.
Yeah. So he basically, what happens is these guys are envious of him, and they put this law, or help the king to put this law in, that there's going to be this time period where nobody can worship anything else, no other gods but the king.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel had a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And his habit was that he would go and he would pray 3 times a day, and he would pray toward Jerusalem. He'd go up into the top of his house, mm-hmm. and he'd get on his knees and he would look toward Jerusalem and he would begin to pray. Well, why was he praying in there? That's one question that we could ask, which I think is interesting. Because there was a prophecy that was there that said that the nation of Israel would go into captivity for 70 years. He's praying for the rebuilding of the temple. He's praying for them to go back in to their homeland.
Yeah.
And so he has this habit that he's been doing over and over and over again. And so the trap is, nobody's allowed to do this. And they knew he was going to do it.
They knew he was going to do it.
They knew he was going to do it.
Yeah.
And so then they go and tell the king. And Travis, you know the rest of the story.
Yeah, so they go and tell the king, and they come back in front of him like, oh, your great highness, your majesty, you're so awesome. Did you not make this law that said for the next 30 days, I think it was, that everybody's only supposed to pray and worship, or pray to you and worship you? And he's like, of course, in accordance with these laws amongst all these people, yes, I made it so. And then they're like, oh, great king David, we caught him.
Daniel.
We caught Daniel. That bad little fella was praying. Yeah. And then the king, because Daniel was his second dude in command or in line for that, it says he was distressed. And so, but he still made this decree. And that was a big deal, right? This was like not something that was like,
well,
you were jaywalking, so we'll just we'll look the other way.
On the pride of the king, too. They're saying, well, now you've made this decree.
Playing with his emotions.
Yeah.
So you can't do that.
I think it was also that there is a law. When they put a law in of the nation, if the king put his seal on it and said this is going to be true, there was no going back. You couldn't go, well, we're going to, you know, revoke this or change the law.
Yeah, there was no leniency because it's the second in command, and it's Daniel who we like.
And the king, even as it goes on in the passage, verse 14, said that he was greatly distressed, but he was still determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. So there's a lot of emotion going on. He's like, man, how can we loophole this thing and get him out of it? But they couldn't. So the men go on, and you know, the story continues, and David has to get chucked into the lion's den.
It's Daniel.
Daniel, why do I keep saying David?
We could throw David in there.
David was there with him.
Daniel.
By the time we're done talking about this, I will remember to get that right. Yeah.
So Daniel goes into the lion's den, and they chuck him in there, and the lions, they're hungry. And then it says that the angels shut the lion's mouth, and they weren't able to snack on him. And so then the king, the next day, he can't sleep, he can't eat, he doesn't want any entertainment, he didn't get onto his Netflix, did none of that stuff. And he comes running back, and he somehow has hope. He somehow has hope that Daniel is alive. And I think it's verse 20 in chapter 6. What does that say, Travis?
Verse 20 says, when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angels and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty.
And so the last part of that, so the king's pretty excited about this. And then verse, I think it's 27, he makes everybody worship worship God.
He goes on, and then King Darius wrote to all the nations and the people of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions."
What an incredible story.
Well, hold on. What? Are we going to skip what happened to the people who accused Daniel?
You want to make it non-Sunday school friendly?
I want the R-rated version.
Okay,
go ahead.
Tell that part.
So the people who accused Daniel says as soon as they pulled Daniel out, and David wasn't in there with him, but they pulled Daniel out. Says he doesn't have a mark on him, not even a cut. And then they take the people who accused him and their families and throw them in the lion's den. And it says before they even reach the bottom of the den, the lions start snacking on them.
Yeah,
and then that decree from Darius. I just had to bring it back.
Okay.
That's not the John, we don't usually dark. When we paint these things on the walls in our kids' ministry places or in our kids' rooms, we usually don't do that part. But that's, you know.
Yeah, that is part of the story. It isn't actually that Sunday school friendly if you start putting those parts in.
No.
But I think what's so fascinating is he's like probably 70 to 85-ish years old at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't a choice of that moment.
Right.
That, because he knew what was going to happen. He had to know. Yeah. He's second in command.
Yeah.
This law is going in, and he still does what he does every day. This habit is formed. This idea that he's going to keep himself pure before God, that he's going to walk in the ways of God, that he's going to continue to pray and believe and hope that they're going to rebuild Jerusalem, and God is going to do that. That didn't start, you know, when he was 79.
Yeah. Yeah. He knew, and he knew how things worked in Babylon too.
Right.
You know, so he knew the consequences full on when he went against this decree. So it's pretty amazing. And you know, there's a part of this where the people who accused him, you know, they were conniving and they're trying to set him up because of jealousy or whatever. But also, how amazing that this guy Daniel is so well known for this habit that he has, that that's the way they're going to trap him. I mean, I read that and I go, boy, if my enemies want to get me, is that the route they would go?
Oh yeah,
let's attack this. Right. You know, his worship and his prayer to God. Yeah. Probably not.
Well, they attack his habit of this, which is crazy. Well, even the king, if you look early on, you know, when he's running to the den,
mm-hmm.
To see if Daniel or David is in there, we can just do this all day, can't we?
he's got hope, right?
He's got hope.
Yeah.
Why does he have hope?
Well,
why?
Yeah. I mean, you go back in the story of Daniel earlier on, even, and Daniel has set up this reputation as someone who serves a God who gets things done. That's my way of saying it. You know, there's all kinds of signs that are being shown throughout the story of Daniel that there's something about this guy and this God that he worships that's different. There's power.
Right.
And you know, you go back to the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's a display of the power of God. And it was a different king at the time. But, you know, you got to believe that those stories, when something like that happens, Darius was probably aware of what had happened in the past.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that there's also just this influence that he has mm-hmm. because of his habits, because he's always trying to honor God. He's always connecting it to who the God of Israel is. Yeah. He's believing in the midst of being a captive that God's going to show up. God's going to do this stuff. But that didn't happen, you know, when he was 79. That had been a lifelong thing, which brings me to another just kind of thought in this. Our habits, I think, inform who we're going to be
mm-hmm.
10 years from now, 20 years from now. So you don't, you know, the habits that you started to work out when you were 25 inform who you are today.
Yeah.
They build upon each other. Mm-hmm. And so the habits that happened then, you know, good or bad.
Yep.
good or bad. They inform who you're going to be when you're 35. You know, the 35-year-old habits are going to inform who you're going to be when you're 55.
Yep.
And you're 55 when you're, you know, 65. And I think the interesting part is, you know, so you're building all the way up. The 65 and above, those habits aren't informing who you're going to be because you ain't got long left. They're informing your legacy.
Yep. Yep.
And it's kind of scary, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and so it begs a question, like, what are my habits now?
Yeah.
What are my habits now? And what are they leading me, either good or bad?
Mm-hmm. Well, as I get older here, I think of, you know, the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I was like, yeah, right. You can always learn something new. It gets harder as you get older. I'm just going to be honest. You know, trying to change those things or instill new habits, especially like learning curve things. Mm-hmm. Like you can see, like, I'm going to just do this and throw my folks under the bus, but my folks are older and retired now. And like seeing how it's harder to change things in their life. Just, you know, we'll use a cell phone. If, for example, mom, you work awesome on your cell phone. I'm not going to pick anybody. This is just an example, but like it gets harder to pick up on those things, to mm-hmm. learn the habits of technology. But if you're instilling those good habits from early on and those things carry with you, it's like those things are almost timeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing of it is the habits are triggers, right? Of a situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, their natural tendency probably isn't to go to technology. Well, because it's a habit for us, ours is naturally to go right there. It doesn't, we don't think about it. We just do it. And they have to learn it, right? It's mm-hmm, a learned behavior at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is so fascinating about habits and Daniel's habit of prayer. I wonder what he was like. I'm sure he was a little nervous going into the lion's den, yep. But there's not all of this screaming and hollering. That's, you know, he just goes and he just trusts in the midst of the circumstance. And we're all going to have circumstances. We're all going to have lion's den experiences. Mm-hmm. But who are we going to trust in that? He didn't have anything else he could trust. The king couldn't get him out. The king of the nation that was holding them captive could not get him out. And who does he have to trust in that moment? That was it. But that habit of trusting God didn't happen in that moment. Yep. That habit had been, it was just a natural reaction, I think, for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the questions that passage begs for my heart is, what are my habits that I'm using to actually trust, to build faith in my life? What are the things that are pushing me for when I'm, it doesn't look hopeful, that I still trust in God.
Well, and habits are an interesting thing too, because there's no doubt that it takes some time to form a habit. And there's actually been some studies on this. You know, there was kind of a anecdotal idea out there for a while that it took 21 days to form a habit. And that there's been some research done since that idea came out that actually gets a little bit more specific now. Most of the scientists who study these things say, behavioral scientists would say it takes probably about 2 months to form a habit that makes things become automatic, you know? And so it takes some time, but not as long as we might think, you know? Mm-hmm. And they also found, I thought this was interesting. If we're talking about creating habits in our lives, if you're trying to create a habit and you miss a day, it doesn't start you over, you know? So we can build these things into our lives.
Yeah. One of the things that we do here, and I think we've talked about this, is the reality reading.
Yeah.
It's all it is to do is to create a habit. And the reality reading is, we ask everyone almost every week, would you read with us a couple chapters of whatever we're reading at that current time as a community every day? And so, John, we're on Exodus right now. Yep. We're walking through the Exodus right now. And we just ask that you listen to it, you read it, mm-hmm. But you somehow connect it. For me, I go into my sauna. My sauna just got fixed, which it was really...
it's a sad time.
Well, it was hard because my habit was to go in there, take a sauna, listen to the text.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all of a sudden, I didn't have that. And so I had to... it was almost like I had to recreate, because my situation or circumstance was different. Yeah. I had to recreate space for that. Mm-hmm. And so which I thought is back to that whole habit thing, when we have it kind of down, it was almost just like, this is what I do. I turn it on, let it heat up. I walk in, first thing I do is say, Alexa, go to Bible app. Mm-hmm. Now everyone who's listening to their Bible app just went off.
Just came on. Good job.
That's awesome. And then I would say, read whatever. And I'd listen to a few chapters and it was awesome, right? Yep. But then when that thing was broke, I wasn't going out there when it was cold in there and going, you know, doing the same thing. So I had to create a different space, but still wanted to keep that habit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things, as you have a habit like that. Other thing is prayer. When do you pray?
Yep.
What about you guys? When do you guys pray?
Morning and night are my standards.
Yeah.
Because it's undistracted time when you wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. Sets the day off on a good tone. And then at night, I can recap the day and drift off to sleep. Sleepy town.
Yeah, I'm a morning guy with my prayer and scripture reading. That's my habit time for it, I guess. You know, and then praying with my kids at bedtime is another one of those set, you know, that's a part of our day, but it you know, it's a routine.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, we've had to establish. And for me, you know, like with the morning time, even reestablish sometimes, because you get something that'll break that up and then I got to get back on track, you know, but yeah.
I like the point that I'm going to jump back in the train a little bit. When you talked about our habits when we're young in our 20s, form habits in our 30s, and when we get to our 60s and 70s, then we're legacy habits. If you start to think of the stuff that you're doing early on and think of letting those habits be what are going to create the legacy that you're going to leave behind, that's super helpful. So like what made me jog my memory is the praying with your kids at night. Like if we're intentional about those things and we create those habits that their kids are seeing as part of your life, as part mm-hmm. of your family's rhythm, and they'll get into those things.
Oh yeah.
You know, reality reading thing has been super cool because my kids think that it's awesome, and not mm-hmm. because like they're perfect little holy children. They're not, but because they see mom and dad doing it. It's an important thing and part of our family, a habit that we've wanted to create. And they see people around them that they look up to and care about at church that like are influences in their lives doing it. It's a positive influence. It's a positive mm-hmm. habit that then is instilled in them.
Yeah. And so I think that habits are just fascinating. And I think when we talk about that legacy thing, you know, if you've been around people who are getting up there in years, they are who they are.
Mm-hmm. And heard if that said too.
What's that?
I've heard that said.
Well, if they're just like a more defined definition of who they've always been. Mm-hmm. The habits that they've created throughout their lives produce something in the end that is just more pure, if you will, of who they are.
Distilled down.
And so whatever habits were there, if they have, you know, if they're negative all the time, they're just more negative usually. If they're people who are, you know, just kind and gentle and just living in that, it's not that they can't change, but it's usually a byproduct of what was happening 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, to be that wise sage. Those people were working through wisdom. They were working through walking with God. They were working through those things. It didn't just happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the guys that around here that I love to talk to is a guy by the name of Bill. I won't give his last name. But that guy's wise.
He's a wise sage guy, yeah.
But the reason he's wise is because he had habits of walking in wisdom and walking in those things. And so you can ask him questions in things of leadership or life, and he has a good grasp on that. But I think they were habits that he walked through on a continual basis. He's a retired dude now. He had the greatest line maybe ever for retired people. Retirement is God's dessert. I love that. That's a legacy statement right there.
Yep.
You know, this is good news you can use. And we just ask that, hey, just think about your habits. Where are they leading you in the next 10 years?
Thanks for hanging out with us today, guys. If you enjoyed the podcast and would like to catch up on it or even previous episodes, check us out at evangelup.org. You can find all those on our websites, or you can search Evangel Houghton on your podcast Apple or Google Play device. And as always, if you have any questions, feel free to shoot those to us, Travis at EvangelUP, and I'd be happy to entertain those. And we'd love to pick up something that you'd love to hear about. So thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll catch you guys next week.